Good morning. All right. Just in case you didn't realize, the Convoy of Hope offering is going to be for the flood down in Texas, okay? And we're going down there as a church and trying to provide relief, and so we're going to fund that. Okay? All right? Are you with me? You got to tell me you're with me, okay? I've been gone for a week, and I've been missing the amens, all right? But it's good to be back with you this morning. Notice I said back with you, not back in Michigan. We had a great vacation, aside from all the traffic stops for construction. The drive really went pretty well, really well. But again, I'd like to thank Pastor Josh for making sure everything went as it should last week. And then again, Gary Timmer for bringing the word. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful, you know, as a pastor that we can leave and be sure that everything will go the way it's supposed to. And we can. So, amen? Amen? With that all said, why don't you stand with me and we will repeat our Bible declaration together. So, if you would take your Bible in your right hand, or your left hand, I don't care, okay? Or your phone, or your pad, I don't care, okay? Are you ready? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. No, no, wait. I missed a week, all right? So I forgot. So we'll start with, I'll never be the same. I got fixated on that one statement. All right, are you ready? Where are we going to start? All right. Wait for me. All right. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. It's so good to get back in the groove, I think. This morning, we're going to talk about something that has been kind of an argument among believers since probably the very beginning, okay? I know it is one today. And the title of the message this morning is called just Co-Laboring with the Creator, okay? So you can write that down if you like, Co-Laboring with the Creator. I'm starting to think here a minute. Gary Timmer, could you come up right now and just pray for the message?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, we are just so grateful that we can come here today, Lord, and Father, so grateful that you come and you inhabit the praises of your people. Father, today as Pastor West preaches, God, I thank you that the words that come from his mouth are going to come from your heart. Father, I thank you that all, God, all of the power that you have, God, that you've given to us, Lord, that it'll come with your word today. Father, just to touch our lives, God, so that we can touch others, so that we can touch you. Father, I thank you for Pastor Westcott. I thank you that he's back. And I pray that you would just give him energy and excitement today to speak your word. Father, we thank you for him in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Co-laboring with the Creator. You know, it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. And maybe you'd wonder why I'm talking about pet peeves this morning, but you have to remember something. We just spent over 18 plus hours driving home from Florida. So pet peeves are kind of right up there on the top of my list where road rage is concerned. So just on a side note, have you ever wondered where Georgia drivers learn to drive? Or how they chose who plans and when and where? Road construction? My gosh, not that it bothered me. Maybe it bothered me. It bothered me. Anyway, for 2 hours, three times. Okay. I know, I realize you're thinking, no, Pastor Wes, surely you don't have any pet peeves. You've worked all that out. You couldn't have those. Well, I assure you, I do have a few. You can just ask Pastor Josh, okay? I have a few, and he's found out what they are. Anyway, the pet peeve, or the age-old argument, if you will, that I'm going to share with you this morning is the one where, now hear me, where God gets all the blame for the bad things that happen in your life. Come on. I mean, if things don't work out the way you plan, it's all God's fault. Isn't it? Right? Are you with me? I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you just don't get your expectations met. It's God's problem. All right. I couldn't find a parking place. I prayed. It must be God. It's his fault. Come on. Or maybe things aren't happening really on your timeline. You know, it's that God that you serve. It's all his fault. He's against you. I mean, after all, he's sitting up there in heaven looking down on you, waiting for you to make a mistake. And the moment you do, then he pounces on you and he punishes you and makes sure you don't succeed in whatever it is that you want or need. And anyway, didn't you know that God's definition of good isn't the same as your definition of good? You know, as far as I know, good is good and bad is bad. All right. And the Bible very clearly in James 1:17 in the New King James says this: every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Or as the NLT says it, which is a little clearer, whatever is good and perfect, all right, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And we can read verses like Hebrews 11:6 that says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Excuse me. And then you have to remember our series in Psalms 91, okay, that says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it becomes rather obvious that in order to receive the impressive promises of God or the bountiful blessings of God, there can be conditions, if you will, to our receiving them. They don't just come. I mean, sometimes I wish it were different. I mean, but we serve a but and if God. And you can't draw any other conclusion when you look at the Bible and when you study the Bible. We do things, he does things. Now, I don't believe that God only helps them that helps themselves. But there's a degree of truth that we can't just sit. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm kind of tired, you know. And I really wish I could soften this next statement, maybe. But I can't really soften it and still be telling you the total truth, okay? So please just stay with me. There are some people, okay? I'm not saying it's you or anybody in this room, but there's some people in the body of Christ that can become just plain lazy. Amen? They can become just plain lazy. And in the way I think that statement could probably apply to all of us at one time or another. But truly, some of us just plain become just plain lazy. It's the truth. We expect God to do a work in our lives while we watch and we wait, and then it doesn't happen, and then we get upset, and then we place blame on God. It's all his fault. However, the watching and the waiting is why we seldom see anything accomplished or come to fruition in our lives, because we're just watching and waiting. Now, that isn't saying what Serena said in a word. That isn't saying that, okay, because she had, God was waiting for you. I'm talking about you waiting all the time and you just sitting and watching. Okay, you're awful quiet. Let me give you another frank statement, okay? If that's all right, because I'm going to do it anyway. And you can write this one down. It's only three words, and it's a lot of wisdom. Nothing just happens. Okay? In all of life. I don't care if it's spiritual or even in your job, you know. Nothing just happens. You can wait and wait and wait and watch and watch and watch and have little happen because, why? Nothing just happens. Say it. Nothing just happens. Or you can become what we have been called to be, and that is co-laborers with Christ, okay? Or co-laborers with the Creator. But people and Christians, unfortunately, have a habit of blaming their lack of success on this and that and everything else but where it belongs, and that is on themselves. I mean, that's the truth. Am I right? I've seen people do that. I've never done it, but. And one of the favorite places to place blame, and especially for the Christian, is to blame it on God. God gets the blame more often than anything or anybody else does. You know how it goes, right? Hey, why isn't this happening? I've been good. I've been praying. I've been, you know, reading my Bible most of the time. I've cleaned up my mouth. I've been going to church, you know. What's up, God? And I understand those feelings, and I know that you've had them, and I've had them. We get disappointed, and it can easily happen. Those are real feelings. But the key factor that makes the difference isn't God's willingness, but it's about our willingness to co-labor together with Him and our willingness to do whatever it takes to achieve our destiny in Him. Because we all have a destiny in Him. We all have a call. We all have something to do, okay? And like I said, we can sit and wait and wonder and watch and wonder why it doesn't happen, or we can do something about it. And you can say, oh, Pastor Wes. I wish I could tell you the times that people have said, oh, Pastor Wes. I just know I got a real good sermon, you know, coming from that one. Anyway, oh, Pastor Wes, that can't be. Because if it's about my determination and about my willingness, then it's not God who does it, and I'm just not, I want to give Him all the glory. Well, you super Christian, you. You mammoth, wow. That's good. You always want to give God the glory. Amen. You should do that. Yeah. But I would argue with you on that you can just let God to it. And let me tell you why. And maybe you've heard this story before. In 2009, I had a stroke. Okay? Came out of nowhere. Wasn't in the family. I just had a stroke. Well, while I was laying in the hospital, I heard the Lord speak to me. And He said, you know, Wes, if you would spend time in my presence reading my word out loud, I will restore you. And I thought, oh, yeah. Man, so I couldn't wait to get home, right? I couldn't wait to get home, and I was going to come in here, and I was going to read as well as I could. You know, like, forgot to la, 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 the, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, it was bad. And so I'd walk around here, and I'd pray, and I'd do as much as I could. About 2 hours, that's all I could do. And then I'd go home and go to bed, come back here, do another couple hours, okay? Well, over time, I didn't get a miracle, okay? It didn't happen, bam. But over time, I got healed, amen? And I believe with my whole heart, taking absolutely nothing away from God's healing power, His mercy and His goodness, you know, and how supernatural He can be. If I hadn't done that, if I hadn't co-labored with Him and done what He told me to do, I would be stuttering and stammering today still. But God has done a huge, huge work in my life. I mean, I can even fight with Serena now. I couldn't do that for a long time. She'd get mad and say something, I'd go like that. Well, and that's all I have for today. In Acts chapter 10, and we all know the scripture, it tells us that God is no respecter of persons. What He does for one person, He will do for everybody. Amen? And we all possess the same promises. We have the same faith, the same power, the same Spirit that dwells inside of us, and the same Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. And the truth is, He loves all of us with this just, it's almost strange to us, this agape love that no theologian can at all begin to comprehend or even explain. It's so deep and so wide and so all-consuming. I guess the favorite, and I've told you this before too, my favorite definition of agape love is a decided love. He decided to love me, and he doesn't change his mind. Amen? And he decided to love you. But the question this morning is this. Are you willing to co-labor with the Creator? Because co-laboring is the key. It really is. Remember what it says in Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. Okay? You should always take note when it says that in the Bible. Be not deceived. Because it's probably pretty easy that you can be. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You're going to get what you give. Okay? You're going to get what you give. And I guess you have to ask yourself, are you willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill your call or to receive from God? I know when I got saved in the 80s, it seems like a long time ago now. Feels like a long time ago now. But when I got saved in the 80s, it seemed to be such a great time. Everybody was seeking the Lord. Everybody was on fire for the Lord. All you ever heard about was, oh, I just want more of God. I'm just hungry. It was great. And it was a wonderful time to grow up in the church. And there's pockets of that and times of that that happens now, but it was a constant thing. And we really were willing to do whatever it takes. But if the door of the church was unlocked, I was there. I even got a key and unlocked it myself, okay? But are you willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill your call to receive from God? Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many of you want to be rewarded of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen? Then you have to be someone that does what? Diligently seeks him. Okay. So according to this verse, God rewards diligence. In fact, he only rewards those who diligently seek him, which means people with a lazy, lethargic, do nothing, take it easy, let's wait and see attitude if God does it or not, will not be greatly rewarded of the Lord. Because what are they doing? Are they diligently seeking? No, they're not. They're waiting. They're sitting. They're hoping God does it all. Are you with me? Now again, Hebrews 11:6 says that God rewards the diligent seeker. The phrase diligently seek that's found in this verse is taken from the Greek word exeteho. All right? And it carries a whole entire range of powerful, power-packed meanings, okay? It means to, and really hear this now. In order for you to diligently seek the Lord, is it just going to church every Sunday? Is it just reading your Bible? Is it just praying? Because I've said this before, you can just read your Bible, just pray, and never seek the Lord. You can just worship and just go to church and never really be seeking the Lord. But that word means this. It means to zealously seek for something with all of your heart, with all of your strength, and with all of your might. It means, it presents this picture of a person who seeks something so passionately and so determinedly that they literally exhaust their power in their search for it. They put everything they have into it. Now, because the word exeteho portrays such an earnest effort, the idea of being hardworking and attentive and busy and constant and persistent in one's devotion to do what they're doing is also included in the meaning. It's all those things. So we could really say, and we could interpret Hebrews 11:6 as follows. God is a rewarder of those who put all their heart and all their strength and might into seeking him. That's a lot. I'm going to just tell you, that's work. Okay, that can be work. It can be joyous, it can be wonderful, it can be so rewarding, but it can be work. Because not every day, at least me, not every single day do I want to come in here and read my Bible. Or do I want to come in here and pray? And I sure don't want to hear my lousy voice worship again, But I do it. I do it. And so what can be as rewarding and wonderful can be just as much hard work and just a decision to do it. All right, sorry. Got kind of carried away. God is a rewarder of those who put all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and might into seeking him. those who are so committed in their search that they are willing to exhaust all their natural powers in their search for him. They are the ones who will find what they are seeking. That tells me that what I'm doing probably isn't enough. I need to do more, okay? And that I would think that it probably tells anybody here that whatever you're doing, the truth is, if you want to really reach your destiny in God, if you really want to find out what it is that he's calling you to do, if you want to receive the power to get to that place, you're going to have to step it up a notch. Amen? I mean, how many of you here would have to admit, you know, I could probably step it up a notch. You know, I could probably step it up a notch seeking him. Okay, we're having the picnic today, right? So I'm going to wrap it up here. The truth is, we in the body of Christ, we have to be diligent to be rewarded by God. That's what the Bible has just said. I didn't make that up. That isn't my opinion. It's just a fact, okay? With anything, but especially and even in spiritual things, that lazy, neglectful attitude will never help you get to where you need to go. It never will help. You know, have you ever looked at somebody who is doing, it just seems so well in the Lord, and you're wondering, well, what are they doing? But I sometimes wonder if you found out what they're doing, maybe you wouldn't be so willing to want to do what they're doing, because it isn't easy what they're doing, but it is rewarding. And I think the rewards of God is more than worth it, more than worth a little bit of work. So, and hear me, okay? If you're neglectful about your reading your Bible, hey, I hit it once a week, twice a week. I thought I read it last week, you know. If you're neglectful about praying, even if you're neglectful about worship, and look out, you knew I had to say this, even if you're neglectful about tithing. Oh, I should, I would, I could, I was good, I didn't. You just can't be neglectful about seeking God to fulfill your destiny. You just can't be. It's too important. If you take your life assignment lightly, if you approach it with a casual, easygoing, take it easy, relaxed attitude, you will never get very far in the fulfillment of your call of your God-given destiny. It won't happen. I would not be where I am today, and I'm not the be-all, no, I'm not saying that, but I had to go through a lot of stuff, okay? I had to work while I was studying, you know, to get the licenses that I needed to keep going, to go on, and that still didn't matter, you know? It comes in God's timing. But I will tell you this, if you aren't diligent in that waiting time, and if you don't just wait in that waiting time, you will absolutely speed up the fulfillment time. So, everybody say so. So I hope he's almost done. No. All right. So if you're serious about succeeding in your spiritual life, and I would think that would be terribly important to you, and if you're serious about becoming all that God has called you to be, all that he has destined for you to be, then you will have to become not a waiter, not a watcher, all right, not a laid-back, hey, God will do it person. You have to become a co-laborer with the Creator and adjust your level of commitment and give your full attention to what God has called you to do. You see, diligence, say diligence. Diligence isn't really an option for the believer that wants to receive all that God has to give. Okay? Are you with me? I hope you understand how I'm saying that this morning. Because I have no idea. Well, I shouldn't say that. This, to me, this message didn't fit with anything we've been talking about really much. And so I have to believe that there are some people here who need to hear this to take the next step. Say next step. Next step. To take their next step in Jesus. And we always, always should be ready to take our next step because you never will get to the top of the steps. Okay? Okay. You need to find out what your God-given task is. Give it your full consideration and your full consideration, your undivided attention, if you will, and your mental and spiritual concentration. And be constant in your commitment and refuse to relent. Don't back off. Don't give up. Don't just wait and watch. do what we were singing about this morning. Ask, seek, knock, you know, and then the doors will be opened for you. But remember something, please. You are called to be a co-laborer with the Creator. Your fulfillment is linked with your participation. Amen? Amen. That's all I got, okay? That's all I got. Could you bow your heads? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I guess the first thing I want to ask you, or I feel the Lord is prompting me to ask you, is how many of you, with the showing of your hands, how many of you are ready to take the next step with Jesus? Let me see your hand just a minute. How many of you are ready to take your next step with Jesus? All right. Praise God. Praise God. And how many of you understand that it's going to take some co-laboring? You can't just wait and watch and have a lackadaisical attitude about it. You have to be diligent. Why don't you stand with me, please? And I'm going to just ask those of you that raised your hand that you're ready to take the next step with Jesus to just step out of your pew and come forward up here so we can pray for you, if you would, please. So the altar is open right now. And I don't know what that means in your life. You know what that means in your life. I know what it means in my life. And I'm standing right there with you. So, okay. Let's pray. Father God, I am so thankful that you're here this morning and that you see every person that is ready to take that next step. They want to progress in their relationship with you no matter what it takes. God, make it clear to them what their part in it is. Make it clear to them that they have to co-labor with you, that they have to be diligent in seeking you to receive from you. And God, we thank you so much that we receive the reward when we diligently seek you. Now, God, I just pray that would just happen with these people here that have come forward and have humbled themselves and were willing to say, hey, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready. Thank you for the willingness, God. And Lord, I pray above all else, Lord, that you would just bless that. Bless that intention in their heart right now and give them the ability in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. Amen. God is good. God is so good. Now expect great things to happen, okay? And you know what? That next step might not be easy. And you know what it might be in your life. It might be stopping something that you're doing. It might be adding something to your life that you're not doing. But God will co-labor with you. It won't just be you doing it. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for the food, okay? That's the important.